When I was in college and used to come home for Christmas or summer holidays, one of the things I loved to do was to sit down at the piano and try to remember the pieces I used to play when I was taking lessons. Usually I didn't get very far with that, so I would just pick up the hymnal and start playing hymns. I remember one afternoon my father came into the living room and sat down on the piano bench next to me, and he said, "Do you want to play my favorite hymn?" And I said, "Sure." And I thought he would turn to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," or "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," or maybe even "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." But he turned instead to page 386 and opened it up to a hymn I had never seen before in my life. The title is "Come, O Thou Traveler Unknown." It was a Charles Wesley hymn. And there are four verses in the hymn printed with the music. But if you turn to page 387, there are 14 verses that go with this hymn. I don't think Dad and I sang through all of them. Maybe we did. I don't know. But there's a story behind this hymn. Apparently, Isaac Watts declared it the greatest poetry ever written. At Charles Wesley's funeral, his brother John stood up to give the eulogy, and he began reading the words of this hymn, and he couldn't make it through the first verse because of his weeping. It's a beautiful hymn. It's set to a sort of Celtic Scottish tune, but it's not a hymn that we sing very often in church. You'll actually get to hear it as we begin communion. There's a soloist who's going to sing it for us, and I hope you'll open up your hymnals and pay attention to the words as they sing. But I think the reason we don't sing it very often in church is because it's connected so specifically to this story in Genesis of Jacob wrestling with God. The hymn is born out of this strange little story that we don't hear very often in church. Now, I've typically been a preacher who preaches from the lectionary. And I know that you as a congregation typically follow the schedule of the lectionary readings. And because of that, this story of Jacob wrestling with God comes up only once every 3 years. And there are also other texts to choose from. And we've been spending our time in Matthew's gospel this summer, and I was going to stick with Matthew's gospel, but when I saw Genesis 32 as one of the lectionary readings, I had to jump up and grab it. And I told Matt, somebody's got to sing this hymn because I want everybody to hear it. It may turn into your favorite too. But what is this odd story about Jacob wrestling with a man, with an angel, with God? What's going on in this story? Well, before we look at this specific episode, I think maybe we need to zoom out just a little bit and remember the larger story of Jacob. Especially if you're not as familiar with the Jacob saga. Who was he and what was his story? Well, you may know that in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God chooses Abraham and Sarah to be the ancestors of a great nation. They will be the ancestors of the Israelites, the Hebrew people. And the two of them have one son, Isaac. Isaac marries Rebekah. And just like Isaac's parents, it's a long time before Isaac and Rebekah are able to have children. But one day, Rebekah conceives, and not only one child, but two. There are twin boys in Rebekah's womb, and the scriptures tell us that even then, they were wrestling with each other. They were wrestlers, especially the younger one. Now, Rebekah is told by God that the older one will one day serve the younger one. And she interprets that to mean that the younger one has been the one chosen by God to carry on the covenant with the Israelite people, to give birth to the chosen people. So she goes into raising them, knowing that. When it comes time to give birth to the twins, the first one to be born is Esau, red-faced, muscly, strong. And right behind him, grabbing onto his heel, is Jacob, whose very name means grabber, wrestler. From the very beginning, Jacob is grabbing to be the first. He wants the birthright. He wants to inherit the promise and the covenant of God, and he's fighting for it. As they get older, you may remember the story, Jacob uses his wits to get that birthright from Esau. The first episode is when Esau comes in from hunting, and he's starving, and Jacob is stirring a delicious-smelling stew. And Esau wants some of it. And Jacob says, I'll give you some of this stew if you give me your birthright, the rights you have as the firstborn son. And like that, Esau agrees. That's how much he values his birthright? Is that what he thinks of the covenant of God? He gives it away for a bowl of soup. In the next episode, with Rebekah's help, Jacob deceives his own father, dresses up like his brother Esau, and sits next to his blind father to receive the blessing that was supposed to be Esau's, but now it is Jacob's. So Jacob, the grabber, Jacob, the wrestler, now has the birthright and the promise of God's covenant. And Esau is furious, and he wants to kill Jacob. And so Jacob runs away. And for the next 20 years, he lives with his uncle Laban. And he marries and he has children. And these become the 12 tribes of Israel eventually. But after 20 years, God speaks to Jacob and says, it's time for you to go home. It's time for you to face your brother. It's time for you to face yourself and go home. And so that's where we meet Jacob. At the beginning of this scripture text, he has come to the river Jabbok. He has sent his wives and his children on ahead of him. I'm not sure what that's about, but we're not going to deal with that today. He stays back and spends the night by himself. And the scripture says, a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. What is that about? What man? Why were they wrestling? Who? But as the story goes on, by the end of the wrestling match, we learn that Jacob has been wrestling all night with God. His opponent announces, you have striven with God and with human beings. And Jacob is able to say, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. So what is it about this wrestling match? What do we need to learn and see in this interaction between Jacob the grabber and his God? Well, as we looked at this in Bible studies this week, there are all sorts of truths that come to us in this story. But at the most basic and simple level, I think this story teaches us that God welcomes a good wrestling match with you and me. It is okay to wrestle with God. God takes the form of a human being and meets Jacob right where he is. He meets this grabber, this wrestler, in a wrestling match. Holds on to Jacob all night long, and they wrestle back and forth. It is okay to bring to God our questions, our doubts, our struggles, our anger, our frustrations. And God is ready to meet us where we are and engage with us in that relationship and that conversation. But so often, we're either not willing or too afraid to engage God like that. Maybe we're like Esau, and we're sort of indifferent to God. Esau, who was more interested in filling his belly and living his life and having his things. I think sometimes we can be so interested in our day-to-day life that we don't really care much about having a relationship with God. That was Esau's problem. Never engaged with God, gave it up like that. And even though in the story Esau is a lot more likable than Jacob, at least Jacob wants that relationship with God and wants that covenant with God and will not let God go. And God can work with that. Or maybe you're like me and you have this idea somewhere that your relationship with God is supposed to be polite and nice go back and I read my old journals from high school and early adulthood, I'm trying so hard to be nice and not to admit my doubts or my anger or my confusion. I know what was underneath those things I wrote in my journal, but I couldn't admit them to God because I thought God would be ashamed of me. I didn't know that God would welcome that. And yet here we have a God willing to wrestle with Jacob. Here we have a book full of psalms where the psalmist is angry at God and shaking a fist at God, saying, "Where are you? Why did this happen?" This is the kind of God revealed to us in Scripture, who is willing to engage us where we are and is big enough to receive and absorb all of our doubts and questions and fears. Now, we may not get the answers that we're looking for. You know, Jacob wrestled with God and said, "Tell me your name. I want to know your name." And he got no answer to that question. What he did get, however, was a face-to-face relationship with the God of the covenant, a God who never left Jacob's side, a God who blessed him at the end of the wrestling. So the invitation is for us as well to be willing to enter into whatever wrestling match we need at this point in our lives, to bring to God all that we are, all of our questions and doubts, and to trust that though we may not get the answers, we will be blessed and given everything we need for the next stage of our journey. Let us trust in God to meet us right where we are.